Welcome to the Condo on the Moon podcast. No Randy Savage. We're giving Randy a break after the Hall of Fame. It is I, James Borbath. I am joined by the Swiss millennial, Chris Walder, and we are here to talk professional wrestling in your ears for an hour to 90 minutes, probably closer to the hour this week. But hello, Chris Walder.
How are you doing, sir?
You know what? I just have that kind of, spring is not here. I am angry. I am bitter. I want someone or something to blame.
Well, don't blame me. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
I'm the Swiss millennial. I know it's easy to blame me, but come on, lighten up. It's just the weather that's bothering you?
No, you know who I'm going to blame? Chris Jericho. We might as well start with him. I am sick and tired of Chris Jericho. I have vaguely went into this on the show a couple of times. But boy, oh boy. After that John Cena, oh, isn't this nice, we're friends and buddies, interview. And now the fact that Chris Jericho is likely doing Tough Enough, I am going to get to the point where I just hate Chris Jericho. I think I'm already there. But I just think this guy is the biggest kiss-ass, like, WWE suck-up going today.
So he's a cheese ball, eh? He's got John Cena's, butt on his lips. You know, he's kissing a lot of butt. I mean, that interview, that podcast after Monday Night Raw was pretty lame.
Lame doesn't even begin to cover it. I just thought it was disgusting. I laugh how Jericho always defends himself. He finds whoever tweets anything good about what he has to say, and they are always right. But yet, the 80% or 90% that think he sucks, oh no, those people are wrong. How dare you question Chris Jericho? I'll question Chris Jericho. You know what? And I said it, not even just about this stuff. I said last time, wrestling-wise, his last run in the WWE sucked. And I'm not afraid to say it. There was a time when Chris Jericho was one of my favorite wrestlers. He isn't anymore. And this stuff he's doing post-career, I can't stand it. He just annoys me. He's turned into a Hollywood douchebag.
Whoa, I wouldn't go that far, but
I would. Did you see that scarf on him? I mean, he's buddies with The Miz. Do we need to go any further with this? I mean, this guy, every person that I despise in the WWE, Chris Jericho loves.
Are you sure? Maybe he's just a nice guy. Maybe he just gets along with everybody.
I don't think so. I don't think that's the case, because there was times in WCW where that clearly wasn't true, and he definitely has had his issues with Hunter over the years, although now that Hunter runs the company, oh no, him and Chris Jericho are buddies, I get it, whatever.
So I guess you weren't a fan of the fact that all John and Chris really did was kind of recount old stories and talk about the good old days.
Yeah, it was so fun to hear about John Cena getting drunk in Alaska and talking to some couple that was going to get broken up. That's what everyone tuned into the WWE Network to hear.
And about what would happen if Funaki was to answer his open challenge? Like, whoa.
Yeah, hard-hitting stuff. Hard-hitting journalism. Way to go, Chris Jericho. I'll be honest, I don't listen to his podcast anymore, and I haven't. Unless I really, really love the person that's on with him, I won't listen to his podcast. I think it's utter trash. And I mean, Steve Austin has denied there's any friction between him and the WWE. But after that disaster, the WWE and Steve Austin need to work this out, because if they have these kind of cookie cutter candy floss interviews, there's no point in having them.
God, how awesome would it be if maybe they asked? It's not going to happen as long as Jericho was kissing their butts. But if Jim Ross were to come on and do his podcast, at least we get a little something, you know, some riveting information, some juicy tidbits, not just kind of like, well, Jericho, well, how you been, man? I mean, you got the five moves of Doom are gone. You're doing a stunner off the middle rope now. That's pretty cool.
Well, but John Cena didn't want to call it a stunner, and that was part of the reason why a lot of people started to believe this heat between Austin and the company.
Can't even call it the stunner. Like, it's a stunner. Like, it's whatever. What else are you gonna call it?
I don't know. I mean, they have no problem calling it a stunner when ACH goes nuts and turns into Stone Cold at PWG. I don't know why John Cena has a problem calling it a stunner.
Those are awesome.
It is. Stone Cold ACH may be my favorite version of ACH.
There's your dream match, indie fans. ACH versus Stone Cold. How about them apples?
I'd just love to see Stone Cold come to a PWG show. He's not that far away.
He'd be likely to. I mean, I think he's into that because of independent stuff, don't you think? Has he ever mentioned that on his podcast?
I don't know. I don't think he is into it. I think he kind of lays low when he's at home, but I'd love to see him there one time. I think it'd be great.
Sticking on the ranch, I suppose?
Yeah, well, he lives half of the time at the ranch, half the time in L.A. More three quarters in L.A., I think, because of his wife, but whatever it is. Austin just doesn't seem inclined to get out there and go to PWG or even ROH. I think he watches it, and I think he's aware of it somewhat, but I don't think he really has any desire to go to a wrestling show. And you know what? If I was Stone Cold Steve Austin, I probably wouldn't either, because guess what's going to happen if Stone Cold shows up there?
What do you think?
500 wrestling fans and the wrestlers on this card are going to be mobbing him, and, you know, why would he want to do that?
Yeah, I suppose you're right. He doesn't seem like he'd want to put himself in that situation, so better to just stay at home and relax.
Now, Chris Jericho, if he needed some publicity, would be more than happy to go there and just, you know, have people fawn over him.
Did we ever think that he was going to do kind of like the groundbreaking Steve Austin interviews that he did with Vince and Triple H? I mean, with Jericho, we kind of saw this coming from a mile away, right?
Oh, yeah. As soon as they announced what was coming on the network and they said Chris Jericho is doing the podcast, I groaned. I think the WrestleMania was when they first announced it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just groaned right away. I was like, oh, that's going to suck.
Well, to be fair, with a guy like John Cena, and Jericho did say on Twitter beforehand that he wasn't going to hold anything back, what could you have possibly asked Cena that we haven't heard before? Like, he went into the little feud that he had, the real-life feud with Rock. He talked about how he feels about being booed by the fans and working with some of the younger guys. Like, I mean, there really isn't, like, a dark path to Cena. And even the bodybuilding, he straight up asked him, like, have you done steroids? Like, I think it's for John Cena, the cookie-cutter John Cena, those are pretty decent questions to ask.
Yeah, but Austin has had Cena on his podcast, and if you want to hear an interview that's a little bit more hard-hitting, admittedly, Austin likes him too, and it's not attacking John Cena in any way, but Stone Cold was a lot harder on John Cena than Chris Jericho ever was. I mean, Chris Jericho made it pretty obvious these guys are buddies, and you know what? I mean, that's cool if that's what you're there for, but I think with these network exclusives, that's not what people want.
Well, I think Austin's more opinionated, too, so if he would ask the hard-hitting stuff, they would answer, and then he would kind of throw his own two cents in. With Jericho, he'll ask the question, and as soon as he gets a reply, he's like, all right, well, on to the next one.
Well, I think Austin more reflects what fans want to hear, and Jericho just does whatever the hell he wants and expects fans, not just his fans, but all fans, because he's Chris Jericho, damn it. You should just accept it as entertaining and move on. And
pretty
that's
much,
what we'll
yeah.
do, because I'm sick of talking about Chris Jericho. I am so annoyed about him, it's beyond belief. And I did mention briefly, just to finish this up, it's likely he's going to be the head honcho on Tough Enough, as Stone Cold was willing to do it, but the WWE did not come through on when they were planning on producing it. Thus, Stone Cold has other things to do and can't do it. So now we get Chris Jericho. Yay!
And thus, James isn't going to watch Tough Enough.
That's true. And I have no desire to watch Tough Enough. Why are we even bringing this show back? Why are we bringing the Divas Search back?
Because last year's Tough Enough was such a huge success. I mean, whatever
happened
to the guy who won, yeah. No, I mean,
they haven't
the
done it for like
it.
3 years. It
the
was
last
that,
time they did it, though. The
it
last
was that season. Andy Levine guy.
Yeah.
He was there for a hot minute, and then he got into some kind of trouble. I can't remember what it was, and they got rid of him like that.
Wasn't the first person eliminated from that show was Cameron, and she's been on the WWE roster for years now.
And her favorite match was, of course,
Melina versus Alicia Fox.
Great classic. Go check it out on the WWE Network. I tell you, I guess let's get into the Divas while we're mentioning them. I'm perplexed at what the hell is going on. I guess we should start off with right before literally we finished this podcast last week, there was major news. AJ Lee gone from the WWE, retired. Everyone played really nice about this, WWE and AJ included. a mutual breakup that was handled very, almost too business-like, I want to say.
Well, don't you think it was kind of the perfect way to leave the door open should, you know, both sides want to work together in the future? And we know her history, you know, with especially her husband. I mean, the relationship with him and WWE is probably never going to be rectified. So why not just kind of smooth things over so if AJ ever wants to get back in the ring, she has the option to.
Protect that triple threat, Rock and Ronda Rousey versus CM Punk and AJ Lee and Triple H and Stephanie, WrestleMania 32.
Exactly.
That's your main event. Book it. There was no surprise in this. I think the surprise was it took so long. Because the situation that AJ Lee was in, I just can't imagine. I think it was untenable in some respects. You have a company that's supporting the doctor that's suing your husband. The company hates your husband, clearly. You're working in this environment, like, for the past year. I just couldn't imagine it. I'm surprised it took as long as it did. And it doesn't shock me that she's gone. And I think what does shock me is she's basically not only gone, but she's pretty much closed the door to wrestling entirely.
For now, she's still really young. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, but one person pointed out maybe the reason for that is with her retiring, technically speaking, the WWE can freeze her contract. So she's still under contract to WWE.
Yeah, she can't go anywhere else right now and compete.
Or ever. Like until she deals with the WWE about what's remaining on her contract. Ever. Like,
I don't think there's a lot of dates remaining on her contract, though. How did they ever come out forward and say that?
No, it hasn't come out in the news that I've seen. If it will, Dave Meltzer will track it down, I'm sure.
Couldn't have been that long, though.
But, yeah, I mean, who knows? Because you got to think, when she signed her original contract, like her contract that she's probably on right now, she might have been dating CM Punk, but I don't think she was even married to him by that point.
Correct.
So, you know, a lot has changed since now and then, so who knows. But I think it makes the Divas division have a huge hole in it, I think. There's no question about that. We haven't seen Charlotte yet. We haven't seen Sasha Banks come up. We have it looks like we're heading towards Nikki Bella versus Naomi, although we're having some kooky battle royal for the number one contendership, which I think, if you're one of these people that are really behind this whole give Divas a chance, that's a really bad sign that they're having a battle royal for the number one contender. That's a step backwards. So is the Divas search, by the way, which we didn't really get into. We talked about Tough Enough. The Divas Search being back, Johnny Laurinaitis is thrilled. How are you?
Hey, if we can get some more Layla Els out there, I'm all for it, buddy.
Yeah, but let's be honest. This Divas Search has not exactly produced wrestling talent. And if we're moving in that direction, which is what people claim they want, you're not going to get a great wrestler out of the Divas Search.
Well, they're all models that audition for this thing. If you want the wrestlers, you'll find them at the Performance Center.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, and then what happens? Does this bimbo that wins the Divas Search get promoted before, say, a Bayley or a Sasha or even a Becky Lynch? I'm not down with that.
Not necessarily. Maybe they just do what they did with Tough Enough and they give them an NXT contract.
I don't know. Anyway. Oh, by the way, we're getting to see Dana Brooke this week on NXT. So
your girl, the Rousey of wrestling.
Well, I don't know. I've heard since her in-ring work is a little, well, it's a little wonky, but I haven't seen it for myself, so we'll see. But
just a quick tidbit on that battle royal you were talking about, because, I mean, Naomi's beaten Nikki Bella twice in the last couple of weeks. Do you think maybe WWE is going to change their course here? Because Raw is in the UK. Maybe Paige pulls it out.
I think if Paige doesn't win, that crowd gets really bad really fast.
And why would they need a battle royal if they were just going to have Naomi win it anyways? I mean, she's the obvious number one contender. Either Paige is winning that thing, or you're going to see an NXT Diva debut next week.
I don't know. It's something weird's going to happen. Yeah, the only acceptable winner other than Paige, I think, would be Charlotte.
Yes.
I think that, because it would be such a surprise, fans would pop for it, and they'd forgive the WWE for not taking Paige to get the win, but
Naomi's a great worker, but she's never been over with the crowd to the degree of Paige or, I mean, Charlotte's not even on the main roster, but she'll be 10 times more over when she comes up, if only because she's Ric Flair's daughter.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to her credit, in the last 9 months, who's improved more in wrestling, men or women?
I mean, to the common fan, though. Like, I mean, they're obviously going to push the hell out of the fact that she's Flair's kid.
Oh, right? I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, that's the side story, though. This girl really, in the last 9 months, is the most improved wrestler in this company, and I think hands down, I don't even see anyone close to her.
Totally. I mean, unless in terms of improvement, I would put Sasha Banks in that category.
Well, she's improved as well, but I just think Charlotte, you look at Charlotte a year ago, like when she first joined that group, the BFFs, which is about a year ago, a year and a little bit,
yeah,
to where she is now, it's night and day. They two different people.
Yeah, she's really coming to her own. Good for her.
Anyway, so that is your Give the Divas a Chance moment of the week. I gotta say, ever since that movement has started, I have not enjoyed the Divas division at all. I really haven't. NXT has been fine, but on the main roster, I think it's been terrible. And I think, honestly, it's because of the Bellas. The Bellas aren't as good as everyone wants them to be.
Yeah.
Or certain people want them to be, I think. Peter Rosenberg.
I'm not nearly as hard as you on you are on the Divas. I mean, some of the matches have been really good, but it's kind of hit or miss. I mean, last week on Monday Night Raw, I forget what it was. I think it was the Bellas versus Paige and Naomi. I think that match was an utter disaster.
Oh,
I set
terrible!
That on right away. That was one of the sloppier Divas matches we had in a long time.
And if Naomi isn't getting this title shot, it was that match.
Yeah, that really screwed her over. Yeah.
Yeah, like I mean, that might have been a Vince call on the fly. That was terrible. We're getting out of this.
Especially with that segment where Kane was having a headache, and then you see the most random Divas come up to him and say, hey, like Cameron? Like, what the hell is she asking for a title shot, like wanting to be a contender? Give me a break. That was totally thrown together by Vince.
Never mind that. Summer Rae is now apparently a face if you watch SmackDown. I happened to watch SmackDown this week. She came out and berated The Miz and said that The Miz is only the co-star of the Marine Four. Summer Rae wants her credit for that Marine Four.
I guess it's because they have this big movie coming out, or at least in their minds, big movie, and they want at least one likable character in it.
I don't know. At least they put Summer Rae on the cover. They might sell a few copies.
Exactly.
Anyway, Marine Four, don't buy it. The Marine Three is bad. The Marine Four can only be worse. We can only hope there is not a Marine Five. That being said, let's see, what else is going on? The one thing I did think the WWE has gotten right, I love the follow-up on the NXT talents on Raw. I thought both were well thought out and did fairly well. The Lucha Dragons came out, got their huge pop again, got a good match. You know, the New Day apparently are now on their way to heal them. I think everything in that match worked out fine. And then to put Neville against Seth Rollins, the WWE champion. I mean, great for Neville. Yeah, he didn't get the win, but no one expected him to get the win. But he got a great match out of Seth Rollins. If anything, I worry a little bit about Seth Rollins taking a match like that against Neville. But for Neville, I mean, they've made this guy look like a rock star in the first 2 weeks. I still don't like the costume. I'm not thrilled with it. But the in-ring, everything booking-wise has been great.
It's just for his entrance. Who cares if he's wearing a cape?
I care.
Oh, come on, man. He's not like, again, he's not doing the superhero shtick. He's just coming out like, you know, break orbit, flying through space like a Martian alien dude. I don't know.
I will say this. I was glad he lost the cape right away this second week.
Yeah, he tossed it. Yeah.
The first week, not good with the flip, and the cape actually went over his head. It looked really bad. Yeah, so at least he's ditching it right away. And maybe one day he will just ditch it before he goes out onto the stage. I think that's going nowhere. But that said, we're getting caught up in the semantics. 99% of the presentation of Neville I love.
He's going to be a keeper for them. And this is going to be the case for all the NXT guys that come up. The more popular that brand gets, when you start putting them on television, Raw and SmackDown, they're going to get the NXT chance. They're going to get a lot more of a following because we know who these guys are. And I was a little bit worried about Neville, you know, in comparison to, like, if Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens were to make their debuts, but Neville's been really doing really good so far. I always said from the very beginning, his in-ring work is going to do the talking for him. Keep the mic out of his hands, let him, you know, excite the crowd with his aerial maneuvers.
That's the key for me, though, because once he gets into, like, legitimate rivalries, he's going to have that microphone, and that will be a point of concern for Neville. I think there's no question, but credit to the WWE, they are highlighting his in-ring ability and doing a wonderful job of it. The Lucha Dragons, to me, turning to them, I swear, I've never seen them go 2 weeks in a row without botching stuff, and here they are on the main roster 2 weeks in a row, and they haven't botched stuff. I'm shocked, amazed, and the crowd has really taken to them.
Yeah, I love Kalisto. He's he reminds me of a young Rey Mysterio from back in his WCW days. Like, the guy like looks like he's 160 pounds soaking wet, and I think him being with Sin Cara right now is the way to go. I mean, he could obviously get over as a singles competitor, but I think having him in the tag team, you know, the tag team division is so sparse of talent lately. They're probably going to challenge Kid and Cesaro at Extreme Rules. The fact that they wear masks is a huge plus because, I mean, Vince has said on numerous occasions he wants, like, that luchador figure in case he ever wants to set a record at WrestleMania, the most masks worn in one building, in one setting at one time. So all the power in the world to Kalisto and Sin Cara. Like you said, they haven't screwed up yet. They're fun to watch. I can't wait to see what they can do.
Does anyone believe Vince actually said that?
Yeah, I think he would. I think he did. He's always willing to set records like that, stupid records that no one cares about.
By the way, not stupid at all, but Vince is not around on television, but it looks like Stephanie, because of getting part of that Eisenhower thing that we mentioned a few months back, looks like she will be off TV for 4 to 5 weeks. That will be a loss for heeldom, and no Paul Heyman around right now either, so boy, it looks like Triple H will be all alone.
Well, we're getting more of an emphasis on Rollins, right? I mean, he was in a lot of segments last week.
Yeah, how do you feel? I the Seth Rollins title reign, I know we're 2 weeks in and all of that. One thing I'm not a big fan of, I think J&J, when he's out there wrestling, should get left in the back now. They're not, it's, for a world champion, I just think it's silly.
Makes him look so weak. The whole authority right now is just kind of, I mean, I watched the opening segment where Big Show and Kane were there, J&J Security and Seth Rollins. It just looked goofy. Like this guy's the number one heel in the company. Like, he's kind of like the cowardly, you know, hide behind the giants, have your two minions take care of your business heel. But, I mean, it's not bad. It's just, we just had one of the most dominant guys ever hold the title for a year, and now we're transitioning to a completely different character.
You know, and I'm fine with the type of champion he is. I like that, actually. That's like classic Ric Flair. But Ric Flair would hide behind the horsemen. It's a little different hiding behind the four horsemen than it is hiding behind Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury. I think they're funny. I think it's a great gag. I loved when the Stooges came together at WrestleMania. Hilarious. But comedy and the world champion should not be mixed together, at least not that direct comedy.
Maybe like Steve Austin back in the day when he was singing songs with Vince McMahon. Did that ever work?
Yeah, but he was trying to make himself heel, so I think that did work.
Yeah,
to an extent, because people love Stone Cold so much, he had to do something so outlandish to make himself a heel that, and even his singing got over. Like, let's be honest, people actually got over on his singing. So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. But I just, it's too comedy-like to me, and I don't know how the hell you get rid of J&J or at least keep them in the back, but something's got to happen, because I'm just not digging it.
I'm just a hater of the little guys, man.
I'm not a hater of them. I just don't think they accentuate your champion. If my champion's going to come out there with bodyguards, I want them to be like the Big Show and Kane in terms of size. I don't want them to be the little mighty mites. That's not intimidating anyone.
Well, it's better than Hornswoggle. You want Hornswoggle out there?
Well, maybe if DX comes back again.
Oh, yeah.
Gav Hornswoggle, you know, he was the mascot. I did love the Little People's Court. That was a great segment.
Oh, God.
Actually, it wasn't. But anyway, yeah, so that's what's going on. Seth Rollins, Randy Orton now confirmed for the pay-per-view. I think that is the right call.
Definitely.
Why we had to go through all we went through on Raw to get there, I don't know, because I think everyone expected this match anyway.
Well, because they didn't have a lot of their big stars on Raw, right? Daniel Bryan wasn't there, Dean Ambrose wasn't there, Dolph Ziggler wasn't there, Bray Wyatt was only doing a vignette, so you needed Ryback, Roman Reigns, and Randy Orton to do the two-match deal, and then the triple threat, which was terrible, but we all knew Orton was going to win. They announced the match on SmackDown, so it is what it is. You just needed guys to fill out the time.
Did we really need to see Roman Reigns and Big Show for the 15th time?
No, we did not.
Do you think we really needed to see that?
No, but who else is going to fight him?
Roman Reigns versus a popcorn vendor would be more entertaining to me than that.
Well, too bad, because that's what you got.
Yeah, I know. It's like, well, that's the WWE's attitude now, right?
Yeah.
It's too bad. Screw you. Like, you don't like Roman Reigns, so it's your fault he didn't win the championship. Yeah, that's the WWE's mentality now.
And we still don't know what Roman Reigns is doing at Extreme Rules. This guy just was...
Well, if it's the Big Show, I'm throwing my hands up and saying, what are you doing?
No, it'll probably be him and Ryback against Big Show and Kane in some sort of...
That would be just as bad, though. Roman Reigns should go nowhere near Kane, nowhere near Big Show. They're not going to help what the problem is.
Well, again, based on recent weeks, what else are you going to do, right?
I have Roman Reigns calling out Bray Wyatt, or...
What?
Why not?
That's completely out of left field.
It is out of left field, but if you want him out of the title picture, there's a top guy you can get. He's going to get over with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, well, of course, but Bray Wyatt would be the face in that feud.
Oh, yeah, maybe, but either way...
That's a little mini Savage impression right there.
Oh, yeah! Not really. a lot more bass in the Savage. But anyway, I don't know. I just think it's a fun feud. And I think, you know, at least Roman gets some respect out of that.
Yeah, hopefully, anyways. If he can't get respect with Bray Wyatt, who can, again, be like Paul Heyman was in that title feud and just do all of the talking and let Roman just kind of carry his own. I mean, this is another example of, hey, Roman, prove it, man. A lot of people are on your back right now, giving you a hard time. It's time to deliver against Wyatt. And I think those two will have a feud before SummerSlam.
Well, the only other option I see is Triple H. And I think that is the ultimate proving match for Roman Reigns.
Which we were supposed to get last summer.
Yeah. I mean, it was supposed to come first, before the title match and all that. And I wonder how many people would feel differently had he had an excellent match with Triple H in like November or like the late summertime with SummerSlam. I wonder, you know, how many people that would have influenced one way or the other. But
it would have helped.
I'm afraid, though, given that it's Extreme Rules, I think you're wrong about a tag match. I think we're getting Roman Reigns and Big Show in a Last Man Standing match. That's what I think we're getting.
Oh, I just ate, man. Like, come on.
I'm sorry, but I think that's where we're heading because, I mean, they had Roman Reigns hitting him with Superman punches, like, from every direction but Sunday on Monday. I just think that's where we're heading. We're heading to a no disqualification, you know, last man standing match. Roman Reigns and him. I mean, that's the way it is. It's a gimmicked up thing.
The only other thing that would make sense is, like, Roman Reigns versus Ryback, and then you have that winner face the champion at the next pay-per-view, maybe a number one contenders deal?
Yeah, something like that. Are we going to see Kane go face? Not that I want to see this, but they certainly gave the impression that's where we're heading.
Well, he's leaving the Authority. I don't know if it's just to take him off of TV. Maybe he's calling it a day, finally. I mean, bless his heart, the guy's been good, but, I mean, I can't stand any more Kane. Like, the character's worn out, but... Yeah, I think, you know, with all of the jokes that Rollins is making about him, it's saying he's going to tell Triple H and Stephanie about all of the decisions he's been making, like putting him in a match against Neville. He's deaf. The authority is disintegrating before our eyes. But whether that leads to Kane being a face, does anyone really care? Probably not.
Worst mistake in the world would be Rollins and Kane, would it not?
In a feud for the title?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because the reason I say this, Kane and the Jon Stewart segment, and Kane again have brought up three times. The only reason Seth Rollins had that Money in the Bank briefcase was Kane.
Yeah.
Which screams to me, Kane is going to go after Seth Rollins' title.
That would be a good feud for television. I'd never want to see it on a pay-per-view, though.
I think we're going to. Just like Daniel Bryan's title reign, like, I mean, that's where you start. That's the babyface benchmark. Can you get past Kane?
If that happens, you're definitely going to see a mid-card title main event at pay-per-view, because there is zero chance that a Rollins versus Kane title match is going to close. I don't care if it's on the network or not. It's not closing a pay-per-view.
Let's speak of those mid-card titles. I hated John Cena's interview with Chris Jericho, but I think that was all Jericho's fault, not so much Cena.
All he could do was answer the question.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like Cena had to duck these hard questions that Jericho was throwing at him.
Yeah.
So I don't blame John for that interview. I think that's all on Chris Jericho. And I'll be honest, the U.S. Open Challenge, I kind of dig it. I like this for Cena. I think this works.
He's had two straight really good matches against Dean Ambrose and Stardust. If he can keep helping put over these young guys, which he said in the interview is something that he wants to do, I mean, one of the pluses of this Open Challenge, keep doing it. I mean, we don't know. Maybe he'll drop the title at Extreme Rules to Rusev, but for right now, this system works.
No, ultimately, the payoff to this Open Challenge has to be some young guy winning this title.
Well, I think you're just going to see Rusev win it back.
No, I think you want John to hold on to this title for a while, and I think you want a Sami Zayn or a Finn Balor or someone like that to win this title off of John Cena.
Well, that would be nice, but again, I just think this is all building up to Rusev winning it back.
I just think Rusev, at this point, is as made as he's going to be. Winning back the U.S. title doesn't necessarily do him any good or bad at this point. Whereas if you launched an NXT talent in that Open Challenge, no one knew they were coming out, and they won the U.S. title off John Cena, madness.
Yeah, you're definitely right on that.
Yeah, so I think booking-wise that makes sense. But I like this whole idea for John Cena. And I get the real impression the WWE is in like full rehab mode with John Cena.
You think so?
I really do. I think the Jericho podcast was designed to do that. I think this Open Challenge with the U.S. title is designed to do that. I just get the impression that, and I could be way off in left field about this, but I really think the WWE thought, when they put him against Rusev, and they drove Rusev out there on a tank, and all that they put into this feud, that people would cheer John. And I think it really shocked them that they didn't.
I think, well, they came up with that funny little jingle during his entrance music. I mean, again, the biggest problem with John Cena for a majority of his career has been the fact that he hasn't changed. And in a wrestling industry where people are always wanting something new, and again, that's something that Cena emphasized with Jericho, you know, it's just a different colored T-shirt every month. It's a different promo, you know, or the same promo against a different guy. So why not just keep booing John Cena until change happens? It hasn't worked for the last decade, but I can understand why WWE is saying, okay, we got to do something here, try and get more fans back on the side against the anti-American, the Russian sympathizer in Rusev. That didn't work. Maybe having him going up against the younger generation, taking him out of the main event scene, maybe that'll do it.
Oh, and I will take one shot at Cena from that interview, because I disagree with him on one thing. He says, you know, well, he can't become a heel because of the children. Well, you know what? Last I looked, Daniel Bryan does pretty well with the children. I think the children would be in safe hands if John Cena went to heel land.
You think so, eh?
I think Daniel Bryan, they made a big deal about how Daniel Bryan was best friends with this child that tragically died that they put in the Hall of Fame, I think that pretty much seals him as, like, kid-friendly, doesn't it?
I think so, but again, John Cena is, like, on a whole different level of, you know, the stuff he does with the kids, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. He's, like, the number one guy ever to do that, so...
Yeah, but is that a manufactured thing by WWE?
Well, it's definitely been put into our brains that that's the case.
But what I'm saying is, just like, there was this theory about when CM Punk, and this was talked about on MLW Radio like about 3 or 4 months ago, if you want to go back and look at it or listen to it. But there was this theory, when CM Punk started to beat John Cena in merchandise sales, they started to underfund the CM Punk merchandise. In other words, you'd only get one CM Punk t-shirt for every 10 John Cena shirts that were at a show, and suddenly, miraculously, John Cena got ahead of Punk in the merchandise sales. I'm wondering if they go to Make-A-Wish and say, here's John Cena, go get a kid for him. And it's not Make-A-Wish saying, hey, we'd like, you know, Randy Orton or Daniel Bryan or somebody else to come. No, no, WWE says, here's John. Go find someone for John.
It's WWE is going to continue being a John Cena-centric company, both in front of the camera and behind the camera, as long as he's, you know, at the top of the food chain, which he will always again be.
Yeah.
Whether it's with the kids or, you know, with the titles, I'm just, you know, it's...
At least they found a way to make him tolerable for me. I guess there's that.
But there's being tolerable isn't much of a success. It's just kind of like you're tolerable.
I think it is a success, given where he's at with a lot of people. I think tolerable is very good for John Cena at this point.
You'll take tolerable.
Yeah, the open challenge, tolerable. John Cena, tolerable. I think we can live with that. And Daniel Bryan on the other side... with the Intercontinental title, it's been interesting, but at the same time, I'm not all that excited to see him fight Sheamus again. I'm not all that excited to see him fight Wade Barrett.
Yeah, it's him and Barrett at Extreme Rules, right?
I think so.
Yeah, they confirmed that, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not excited to see either of those matches necessarily, but, you know, they're trying to do the similar thing with Daniel Bryan on the other side, in just a different way to build up the Intercontinental title. So, you know, that's where our B-plus Goat Boy is positioned, and if you don't like it, too bad.
Again, it gives you options, though. If you're going to have the Seth Rollins versus Kane feud or something of that nature, you have Daniel Bryan and John Cena as your mid-card champions. Those guys can main event pay-per-views.
Yeah, but doesn't that hurt Seth in the world title?
Well, CM Punk never main evented a pay-per-view.
Was never worthy of being ahead of John Cena.
So. Well, then I guess Seth Rollins is just going to fall into that trap, too. And he looks like CM Punk to a degree as well, so
yeah.
It would just be a repeat of history.
I don't know. He comes from some of the similar places.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. It's been an interesting couple of weeks post-Mania for the WWE. But, you know, it is what it is with them. It's kind of your typical post-WrestleMania malaise kind of settling in. NXT hasn't been doing much. They had a special on all the stuff they were doing at WrestleMania this week. So nothing really advanced in terms of NXT's storylines or plots. So it was kind of a dreary week wrestling-wise, too, as far as WWE and NXT were concerned.
Any ROH news to discuss?
The whole crop of... I meant to say this off the top of the show. New Japan Pro Wrestling, the new tag team champions of the IWGP heavyweight division, the Kingdom, our buddies, Matt Taven and Michael Bennett. Well, my buddies. You've never talked
Your
to them.
Your buddies, yeah. They don't even know who I am.
That's true. I was trying to include you, Walder. I'm sorry, but
I want to be a part of the Friendship Club.
The Kingdom, new tag team champions. Very exciting in New Japan. And another big thing actually. ROH. This is a spoiler. If you're not wanting to hear what goes on in ROH, block your ears for the next 45 seconds to a minute. The KRD was revealed.
Yes.
It turned out to be Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Chris Sabin, which was weird.
Dixie Carter's minions.
Yeah, more TNA, the TNA invasion of ROH. Although they've had a lot of other people invading too. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. And they won the tag straps off Red Dragon, which is probably the bigger story in that, as Red Dragon has been just dominant in the tag team scene.
Now they've lost both of their titles.
Yeah, yeah, they're no longer the junior champ. Neither are the Young Bucks. Actually, the Young Bucks aren't junior champions in Japan either. That is quite the show, that New Japan Invasion show. If you're looking for something to watch, pretty good show. Just saw PWG Out of Nowhere, which is a pretty great show as well. I try to include you, Walter, but my guy, Ethan Page, along with Josh Alexander, the Monster Mafia. Hell of a match with the Young Bucks in their debut at PWG. Check that out.
And I'm partial to Zack Sabre Jr. Had a good showing against Roderick Strong in the main event.
You would be.
Like, why?
Because you're a Swiss millennial and he's a European. You all stick together.
Why? I like his technical prowess. He's a gifted wrestler.
And technical prowess, that's another like Swiss millennial term. You're just, wow.
Yeah, man, I'm coming into my own with the English language.
I can see why Vince doesn't like you guys.
Thanks a lot. By the way, the main event for the next PWG show, triple threat for the world title, Roderick Strong, Brian Cage, Chris Hero.
That should be interesting.
Yeah, Strong will retain, but it'll be a good match.
Yeah, Roderick Strong seems to have found a renaissance there and finding what he's not getting in ROH with PWG.
They're finding a lot of talent, though, to fill up all the spots that were taken away by ROH, though. Like, I mean, I thought they were going to be kind of depleted when they couldn't, a majority of the ROH roster would do PWG, but now they can't do it. But they found some keepers, you know. What was it? Speedball Mike Bailey from CZW's had a couple of good matches. They had another guy, Tommy End from England. He came in and competed against Chris Hero. He had a good match.
Trevor Lee's been there a little bit before that, but Trevor Lee's become a big deal down there in PWG as well.
Big guy there, yeah.
And now they brought in the Monster Mafia as a tag team. Their big tag team tournament is the next show for PWG, DDT, I think it's 5.
Yeah.
So that should be interesting. Monster Mafia will be in that, the Young Bucks.
Beaver Boys will be in that too, the Best Friends, I guess.
Yeah, no, the Best Friends are no more.
Are they done completely now?
I think, because Trent's now in New Japan and won the titles with Rocky Romero, the junior straps. So.
What is it, Roppongi Vice or something?
Yes, Roppongi is someplace in Japan, apparently.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
So that's what it meant. I thought it was just like some gibberish word.
No, it's kind of like this dark, seedy section of Japan. That's what I've come to understand.
God, it's such a bad name, though.
Yeah, it really sucks.
Roppongi Vice? Like...
It really sucks.
But they're the champs.
They are.
Yeah, they won the belts.
They are. They beat the Young Bucks in one hell of a match. They
teamed for like a minute and a half, and now they're the champions.
Yeah, and AJ Styles had a hell of a title defense as well. As we're talking New Japan Pro Wrestling, he had what some people are calling a match of the year. So
with Ibushi?
Yeah. Apparently it was pretty darn good.
First time since, someone said this on Facebook, first time since 2010 or 2011 that the IWGP World Championship was defended without Tanahashi or Okada in the match. So take that for what it's worth.
Wow.
New era here.
Yeah, both those guys are coming over for the, as we started this conversation with ROH, both those guys are coming over for the co-promoted shows in Philadelphia and Toronto, as well as Nakamura's coming.
Yeah.
Which I'm very pleased about.
I'm not, because I'm not going to be there.
Well, you should get there while there's still time.
I know. Are there still tickets available?
I imagine so.
I might have to get in on that.
You'll be. We're in general admission too, so you can just find us.
Nakamura is my favorite wrestler right now. So.
I tell you, he's very good.
Toronto, he's really good.
Daniel Bryan wants Intercontinental title versus Intercontinental title. I think. Hell, book that for WrestleMania 32.
The ultimate dream right there.
In all honesty, why not if you're the WWE? Like, whether he's in New Japan or he's not or whatever, make it work. I mean, if ROH can work with New Japan Pro Wrestling, surely to God, WWE can.
You did friggin' Big Show versus Aki Bono. We can get Brian and Nakamura, damn it.
I mean, that would be, like, WrestleMania 32, I think that's how we'll close out. It seems a lot of people are starting to weigh in about this, and a lot of people are starting to talk like me. It's not a slam dunk for them to fill Cowboy Stadium. And I think they need every little gimmick they can hope for. Like, to attract every single fan base. And this is one for the hardcore, smarky fans that you announce this, Nakamura versus Daniel Bryan for Intercontinental title versus Intercontinental title, people go nuts.
Yes, people like us would go nuts. But if you're like, you know, WWE and you kind of want to keep things in-house, I think by WrestleMania 32, we're either going to get Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens on the main roster. What about Bryan versus Zayn or Owens? That would be just as awesome.
I don't know. I mean, I just think that match could happen, but I think it's more special if you do the Nakamura match because people just don't expect that.
But they would have both, I mean, the added, you know, like they're both Intercontinental Champions. I doubt they'd both have the belts at that time.
I don't know. I fully expect Daniel Bryan to have his by WrestleMania 32.
You think he's going to hold it for a year, or he's just going to have
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I do. I think that's how you rehab that belt.
Bryan holding the title for a year.
And it keeps him out of the world title picture, which is ultimately what the WWE wants.
They love that.
Yeah, so I mean, I think he definitely holds it for a year. I think he will be the champion going into WrestleMania 32. Nakamura... Yeah, I could see it in Japan. I mean, he might lose it and get it back. But, you know, even still, like, who cares? Like with WWE, they could fudge something. He could be the Japanese Intercontinental Champion even if he wasn't.
He'll probably be world champion by that point.
Who knows? But, I mean, I would just... It's a great match to have. I think it makes sense. You know, I think it's a cool... kind of match, and then maybe, you know, maybe this is how you could lead into after, if it's a one-off with Nakamura, you could lead into a feud with Daniel Bryan and a Tommy.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
WWE's looking for any excuse to get bigger in Japan. That would certainly do the trick.
Yeah, I mean, you bring in one of Japan's biggest stars. I don't know why I had trouble saying Japan there.
Japan?
But anyway... It's one of those days. You bring in one of Japan's biggest stars. See, I did it again. And, you know, you take your Japanese star and you piggyback him off the feud. Makes sense to me.
Smart booking.
But I think the bigger question that we were talking about, filling Cowboy Stadium, that's going to be tough. I mean, they need all hands on deck. And I think... The evidence that they're trying to put together Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie McMahon shows you they're aware of this.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, though.
I think it's going to happen. I just don't think it's going to happen in a singles match. I think you're going to get some kind of Rock Triple H match with Stephanie and Ronda involved.
Yeah, UFC's going to make sure she doesn't actually fight, too, so...
She's going to do the armbar. That's what she's going to do.
Yeah, if she wrestles, it's going to be just as short as she competes in UFC.
She'll do a couple judo throws and an armbar on Stephanie, and good night.
That's the shortest WrestleMania match.
Take your seven-figure paycheck, Ronda Rousey, and thank you for coming out.
It'll make Bryan and Sheamus at 27 look like a bloody Iron Man match. Rousey's going to demolish Stephanie, and it'll be over before you know it.
But you see, that's the thing. That's why I say you can't do a one-on-one match with those two.
Because it wouldn't make sense. No one would buy it.
Well, not only that, it's like, this is a girl in the UFC. Yeah, it goes to what you're saying. No one would buy it, but Stephanie's not going to go down in 10 seconds. Wrestling doesn't work that way.
Yeah, but that's why it would kind of lose the appeal of it, right?
Yeah, unless you had Ronda do that, and then Stephanie, like, because Stephanie runs the company, it's not legal, and then they went into a longer match or some damn thing, but
you
that would be
stupid.
You can't
use an armbar?
Yeah, armbar would be banned. They've done it with the Authority before. They've come up with stupid stipulations in the middle of matches. Let's be honest about that. So Ronda Rousey could not win via armbar.
I can't say armbar without thinking of Jericho running down his 1,004 moves that he stole from Dean Malenko.
After my rant at the front of the program, maybe let's book this. How about Ronda Rousey versus Chris Jericho, and she armbars him?
Yeah, you do.
And makes him tap like a little bitch.
The Y2J hate is real, folks.
I'm serious. I would buy a ticket for that. I think Ronda Rousey legitimately could kick Chris Jericho's ass.
She can kick anyone's ass.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far, but she can do a lot of things.
Rousey versus Lesnar. Let's do this.
That's what I'm saying. There's limits to this. But I will say this, from the UFC's point of view, because they're the ones who are obviously the most concerned with this, I think you have Ronda judo tossing like Triple H and a couple other big wrestlers, and her beating Stephanie, I think that does nothing but good business for you.
You put that in every highlight package you have for UFC moving forward, bad-mouthing WWE, you have your top UFC fighter just kicking their ass.
Or if you really want to go like big over the top where everybody wins, if they can get it set up to do Cyborg Ronda Rousey and promote it through WrestleMania, that would be fantastic. Like, because let's say Stephanie is in this match with Ronda. How did she, or she's afraid of Ronda. Who would be the perfect bodyguard to save her from Ronda Rousey? Get Chris Cyborg.
Yeah.
And then you're promoting the UFC match. It's a little hokey. It's a little out there. But UFC has, and Bellator has done worse. And you're doing it on a huge stage with wrestling fans. I say, why not? I mean, I think that would work perfectly. Now, there's a lot of stuff with mixed martial arts and, you know, if Chris Cyborg can actually make 135 pounds. But if all that is set and you have a match with Ronda Rousey and Chris Cyborg ready to go when WrestleMania is around next year, that's where you promote it. I think it's the biggest promotion the UFC could do for that fight. Not that it maybe necessarily needs it, but it would make the fight even bigger because you draw wrestling fans into that huge.
Yes, sir.
Because Chris Cyborg is, I mean, she makes China look attractive. I'm serious. She is not the most attractive girl in the world.
Get out.
Not really. There's no Rousey. She's no anybody. Anyone who's allowed to hang within 25 feet of Rousey. That's what, no, she's not. No. Terrible. But anyway, there are ways to make it work. I think Dana White's a smart guy. And I think we will get Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania 32. I think WWE doesn't have many options other than that, too. I mean, it's clear Austin's out. I think we'll probably get Undertaker. Probably won't get Shawn Michaels. We're going to get The Rock, it looks like.
I think Sting will be there.
Yeah, maybe.
Batista might be there.
Who cares?
He's still a big name.
Does Batista sell you one more seat in that stadium? I really don't think he does.
Maybe two.
Maybe two. Does he have two kids? Is that why?
He has family coming in.
Yeah, mom and dad. I don't know.
Titus O'Neil's kids.
Titus. Oh, yeah. Hey, when we were talking about the tag team division, I meant to mention that. I love that the primetime players are back. I love this. How do you feel about Titus and Darren Young being back and making fun of New Day and the dreaded Ascension?
Yeah, they're pooping on everybody. Is that their gimmick now?
Well, they're just the smarky kind of funny guys that they always were. I mean, I don't think it's a departure from what the primetime players were before.
I like them because they never should have split in the first place.
No, I think it was totally hard, dumb and stupid. Like, what did that serve? I mean, Darren Young got totally buried and was gone, and Titus never turned out to be anything in singles.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I think putting these two guys back together was a very, very smart thing.
Good stuff. I mean, I think they're entertaining, but I don't know if anything is actually going to come of this. They'll be putting some lower-tier tag team feuds. If they ever get a shot at the titles, I'd be shocked. But who knows? Maybe this is what gets them over.
I wouldn't. I think they could they could do very nicely with this whole gimmick of making fun of people. There's lots to make fun of about Cesaro, Tyson Kidd, and Natalya.
Or just pretty much everybody in WWE, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard. I mean, it's pretty easy. You know, so I don't know. I like that. The primetime players, they have my attention, I'm enjoying.
They're no Jericho.
Don't start with Jericho again. Don't start with Chris Jericho. I'm going to lose my temper and friggin' snap.
I'm sorry.
If I hear Chris Jericho again, I'm going to have to clap so I won't snap.
All right.
You didn't get that reference at
all,
did you?
I know, it's the clap or snap.
Yeah, that's the New Day's thing.
The New Day, yeah.
Yeah.
They're my Jericho. How about that?
They're everyone's Jericho, apparently. But apparently the fans have won yet again, because clearly they're going heel.
Good.
Like Kofi Kingston, it's finally going to happen. Kofi Kingston as a heel.
As a bad guy. Wow.
I mean, this is like 7 or 8 years in the making.
It's his entire career in the making.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. His career's been, what, 7 or 8 years?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Ever since he lost the Jamaican thing, he needed to be heel.
Short of the John Cena heel turn, I think this is the longest build in WWE history.
The Kofi Kingston heel turn.
Maybe they turn together.
Yeah, they form a faction.
John Cena joins the New Day.
Oh, okay. John Cena and the New Day. That would be the CTC all over again.
Maybe they'll come invade NXT. Who knows?
It's Shad and JTG.
Wow, crime time. Yeah, they're not working anywhere, are they?
No.
Well, not anywhere big, anyway. I'm sure they were at WrestleCon with everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that being said, ROH television-wise, if you were not able to see their shows down in California, they're going to show you the two main events on television this week. So that means you get to see Jay Lethal versus Jushin Thunder Liger, and you also get to see Samoa Joe versus Jay Briscoe for the world title. So those will be on TV this week. That should be good.
Free is good.
Not should be good. I've seen it. They are good. So if you haven't seen them, you get them on free television this weekend. So go check them out. And once again, you know, congratulations to my boys in the kingdom. I'm very legitimately happy for Matt Taven and Michael Bennett winning the tag straps over in Japan. They seem excited. They seem very happy. And I love those two guys, so I'm happy for them too. And Adam Cole, you know, soon we'll be back, I think. But not yet. I'm waiting for Adam Cole to return.
Yes, you are. Just like a lot of other people.
Well, I mean, you know, I miss Adam. Like I thought now that he's talking, he cut a promo, I thought we could get him on the program. Turns out you can't.
Damn it.
Adam Cole. Once he fully returns, I've told people, I want this to happen. I want Adam Cole back.
Yes.
Because we have to finish the trilogy. It would be his third time on the program. It would be like our Return of the Jedi. And, you know, I figure, like George Lucas, I can when Adam Cole is a big, big star, I can monopolize these interviews like George Lucas has his movies and make millions and millions and millions of dollars off them for years to come.
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Exactly. Just like that. So, with that said, I don't know what else to talk about this week. I'm pretty much done. It was kind of a light week in professional wrestling.
As am I.
As are you? You're a light week in professional wrestling?
I am. Literally, I am a light week in professional wrestling.
I don't know. Would you qualify for the junior titles in New Japan Pro Wrestling?
I'd qualify for my own division, just a Swiss millennial division composed entirely of me. And my make-believe opponents. It's just me just taking bumps for 20 minutes.
So basically you'd be Mizda.
Yes.
Incidentally, let's talk about that real quick. Why the hell did they give that away on free TV?
I don't know.
Because they're idiots? Like, why?
Now, I mean, they'll probably fight again at the pay-per-view, but no one cares. We just saw it on Raw.
Well, they will. And Miz went over, and the whole idea is to build up Mizda, so Mizda eventually gets this win, but... I'm sorry, that was stupid.
Yeah, like, come on. You should have just saved it entirely.
Yeah, that just wasn't good. That was not well thought out, I felt.
Yeah, well, it's WWE. Shocking.
You're saying this stuff happens a lot in WWE? Go no. Figure. Really? Wow.
There you go.
Oh, well. Anyway, so there you have it. That is all that's going on in this week in professional wrestling that I can think of at this very moment. If something pops in my mind later, or if someone decides to retire after we record the podcast, we'll let you know on the website. But that's it for now. We're done. Come back next week, Friday, same bat time, same bat channel, for more talk on WWE, ROH, and all things professional wrestling.